Friends in Christ, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We just heard in our scripture reading today a taste of one of the most famous sermons that pastors like me can't even top, but was preached by Peter himself. And in his sermon at Pentecost, Peter explains who God is to the crowds. He teaches on each distinct person of the Trinity. This is what we remember today on Holy Trinity Sunday. As the church is formed, and now as the church is being reformed, God makes himself clearly known to all people. Our God is three in one, creating the world, redeeming the world, and making the world holy. But for us as mere mortal people, how can we rightly understand such a lofty concept about God? Now, this word Trinity can't be found in your Bibles, but it's our way of explaining what Scripture continues to testify. If you even open up to the first page of your Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, you see God in each distinct way, right there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters of chaos. Then God said with his word, Jesus Christ, let there be light. But how can we understand that today when we hear this sermon of Peter? Well, it's in a little phrase. You might have missed it. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. Peter says this five-word phrase. This Jesus, God raised up. This Jesus, God raised up. You see, to understand the Trinity is, the first step is to understand Christ, Jesus. Jesus is the physical manifestation, the physical way of us seeing God. When we see Jesus, when you see Jesus, you see God and can understand him. You see, Jesus is how God chose to reveal himself. In Jesus, we have a God fully known, believe it or not. That's why, in a little bit after our sermon today, we're going to be speaking the longest Christian statement of belief known to man. We're calling it the Athanasian Creed, after early church father. It's the longest because it goes into depth, the true depths of God. And this statement of belief spends half of the statement, ironically, talking about Jesus. It's because in Jesus, we and you can fully know God. But to have a fully known God means that we have a God that fully knows you. That knows us. Imagine that. Somebody that just knows you. You ever have that where you're with a person that just gets you? If you find them, marry them. Hopefully you found that person. But that's what God is in the purest sense for us. He fully knows us. That's why in Scripture it says in 1 Corinthians 8, if anyone loves God, he is known by God. I love this aspect about being known, right? In our world, everybody wants to be listened to nowadays. Everybody wants to be heard. But imagine how even greater it is to be known. To be known. It's a greater commitment to know somebody. And I love when people rearrange a wording to a very familiar song. We sing a lot in our preschool here. Maybe you learned it as a kid. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Right? What if we flip the words around a little bit? but to be loved, but not known, it's comforting, right? It's like those teenage romances, to be loved but not known. It's comforting, but it's superficial. You have those people in life. Then to be known, but not fully loved. That's our fear, right? When people know us, but they don't care about us. But to be fully known and fully loved, it's a lot being loved by God. To be known and loved. It is what we need now. Now, this week especially, more than anything, it liberates us from our pretenses, and it humbles us from our self-righteousness, and it strengthens us for any difficulty that life can throw at us. To be known and to be loved. But we know that's pretty hard right now. We live in a time when it's easy to project an image that doesn't really reflect our reality. And we can see this most clearly right now. When you watch the news, you go online, and you try to find an accurate piece of information. Maybe accurate information about COVID, or diseases, or accurate information about current race protests. So let me say, if you are recently one of these people that are all of a sudden relevant about race, if you're recently relevant, especially as a white person when it comes to race, and our answer is to go out there and fix the problem immediately by ourselves, well, we're not that relevant when we do that. We all need to take the time to lament and mourn our long history of racial injustice in America. But we have to do that before we go out and try to be a white messiah into our world, to be a person that fixed the problem that we just woke up to. Now, I've been fascinated lately to just see how quickly we are from the fear of contracting sicknesses. It's all of a sudden we've moved on from COVID for a lot of us. Now we're focused on race in a blink of an eye. We moved from fearing the wrong race. Now then we're fearing of not catering enough to society. And the list goes on and we spiral out of control. And right now a lot of people are doing this. We're acting like we just got back from a short-term mission trip. This time of quarantine was that trip. We post all the right pictures, we say the right things that we're supposed to say, we immerse ourselves in culture, but then what? We go back home into the comforts of our own room and don't do anything more. But how do we address the greater problem of sin? The sin that's in your heart and my heart. How do we address the sin in the world and live not just for this week, but live for the long haul? Yes, hashtag Black Lives Matter, but truth matters. As a Christian, as all of us as Christians, the church, you and I, we as the church should be leading on these issues instead of sheepishly following a deceptive movement hostile to the gospel news of Christ. So when we hear about protests or when we watch the news, pay attention. Right? Pay attention to see if you hear any words about forgiveness or people being reconciled. I'm here to say that we can't talk about the sins of the past, rearing their ugly heads again, and expect to move forward if there is no intention for forgiveness. I'm very tired of victim mentality, especially as Christians. It's not gospel-centered, folks. None of us are victims. We all have a hand in our problem of sin. Now, if this doesn't bother you so far, then maybe just go on social media, Facebook and Instagram feeds. Highlight all these different things that are otherwise imperfect. We have selfies and we have filters that allow for the best angle and the most flattering lighting. Our likes and shares and follows are comforting in the moment, But ultimately, they all fall short. And research has even linked that heavy Facebook and social media usage is correlated with rising rates of anxiety and depression because we just can't live up. And it's heartbreaking. So when you're hearing all this, we realize that our world is hurting. Maybe you're hurting. But we remember that God created us with a need that is really becoming at the forefront. God created us with this need to be fully known and fully loved. A need that He and He alone can fill. Because He is the only one who truly, fully, wholly knows the depths of our souls. And guess what? He still chooses to love us. Today, we focus on understanding God as our Holy Trinity. So how does that affect our understanding of our world right now? How does that affect our understanding of treating each other as our neighbors? Well, first we begin that God is our Father. We bear His image, right? Scripture tells us that we were created in the image of God. All men and women are created in the image of God. Black, white, brown, purple, polka dot, all of us. And we bear His image as He creates us. God the Son, guess what? In God the Son, Jesus Christ, we are therefore seen as worth. Because Jesus loved the world. Not just us here at Bethlehem, but the whole world. And God the Holy Spirit still today calls and gathers and enlightens and guess what? He unifies. He is actively unifying the people on earth and keeps them in the bond of peace. So that's why when you look around, you might see these images. That's why you might see a dove. That's why people are brought inside the comforting wings of God. That's why we are called one body as the church. One body. You are connected with all the people in this village, all the people in Minnesota, Texas, Afghanistan, China. We're all one body in Christ. So if you ever think about it, if you ever hit your hand, ever hit your thumb with a hammer, guys or gals, some of you that like to work outside, ever hit your thumb with a hammer, you can't say to your thumb, I don't feel that pain. It's connected to you. Of course we feel the pain. And that's how it is for other people. When we see people in pain, we feel pain. And we should feel pain because we are connected. And that's a good thing. And more importantly, you and I are connected to God Himself. Our God that still sees and still knows the moments that we would rather gloss over, right? He still sees and He still knows the sins we'd rather keep in the dark. He still sees and He still knows the deepest motivations that we have. Our guilty biases, our thoughts, and even the intentions of our hearts. Sounds a little terrifying, right? But rather than looking at us, rather than seeing our glaring sin and brokenness and misguided motivations and letting us languish and wallow in them, restless and weary like we have been, God gave us His Word, His living and active Word to allow us to see the depths of our sin. And in His Word, and by His Word, we see ourselves for what we truly are. We're men and women created in His image, yet born sinful and broken and rebellious. And we're born with that God-sized hole in our souls. But He loved us so deeply and fully that He met us in our naked exposure with the only one who could remedy our shame, Jesus. This Jesus, God, raised up. And when we believe in him, when we trust in him, we get to clothe ourselves in white garments, whiter than what I'm wearing, his righteousness. And he makes us more like himself as we grow closer to him in his word. And he has that power that the world strives for. He has the power to transform and even soften the deepest motivations and thoughts of our hearts. That's what he's doing right here in Bethlehem, Wales. That's what he's doing in our world. But if you go a little further, if you look in third world countries in our world, you might see some children who cannot afford food. They walk around with biscuits they make out of dirt, and they eat it. They might briefly quell their hunger pains, but ultimately they provide zero sustenance and will eventually lead to death. Friends in Christ, the stuff of this world, the likes, the follows, the fake approval from those who don't fully know us, the sin that we like to cling to because we're terrified to let it go, it's all dirt biscuits. But God has offered us a feast beyond compare. As God reveals himself to us, we reveal him to the world. We are fully known and fully loved. That's who we are. But how is God calling us to be that for this community? How can we fully know Wales, Wisconsin? How can we fully love our neighbors? We have to listen first. We need to be the examples of how to listen and learn as Christians. And then we can be models of how relationships are formed. You and I, starting today, need to be on the front lines of community building. It has to be us. It has to be us, or somebody else will take that, and somebody else with a different message will seep in our world and muddle it up. There's this famous phrase that if you don't teach your kids about God, the world will. I don't know about you, but I don't want the world teaching my family about God. I want to hear it from God himself. It has to be us. Our conversations and our relationships break down when this foundation isn't about the truth that we find today in our Holy Trinity. So, today, I see you as an image bearer of God who is fully loved and fully known. You are created in his likeness. And so I'll treat you like that. I see you as a person forgiven by the blood shed by our Lord Jesus Christ. And I will treat you that way. I see you as a potential family member in the kingdom of God. And I will treat you that way. When one member hurts, we all hurt, right? When one member is lost, we chase after them and bring them back. When one member is estranged, we reach out with arms of grace and hearts of forgiveness. We seek understanding so that we can fully know a God who knows and a God who loves all of us. That's our responsibility. And guess what? That's our new normal. So may this peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.